Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
You know, fighting this fight, being in the fight is good, but winning it is dependent upon the way you fight it. Being in the race is good, but winning it is dependent upon the way you run the race.
Are you ready to engage in the fight of faith? Get into the Word, strengthen your spiritual muscles, and make a difference. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland's grandson, Jeremy Pearson's, today on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Now, remember where we began this whole discussion here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, what he said in verses 20 and 21. He said, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel. That's you. You need to say it out loud right now. I'm a vessel. Say, I am a vessel. That's what you and I are. Vessels are just something that holds something else. That's what this is. It's a vessel. It's a container. It's got this water inside it. And that's what you and I are. We're vessels. Paul, we may even get into some of this over the course of this study, but he talked to us in 2 Corinthians about being clay vessels. And he's saying we're earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, the power is not in this outside container. The power is in what's inside it. So he says here that you can be a vessel of honor. What makes something a vessel of honor? Well, it has an honorable use, or it contains something precious. It holds something valuable. You don't put your treasures, you don't put your diamonds, your gold, your jewelry, you don't just throw that in some plastic sack sitting in the corner of the room. No, man, there's a precious place for that stuff. There's a gold box somewhere sitting there that may even lock and keep these things protected. He said, you can be this kind of vessel, a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful to the master. The Modern English Version says, fit for the master's use. Man, that is what is at the top of my list right now. My number one aim, my number one goal is to be fit for my master's use. Jesus, I want to be in shape and in condition that you can use me. I just want to be used by him. I want to be used by him to be Sarah's husband. I want to be used by him to be Justice and Jesse's daddy. I want to be used by him to be a minister of the gospel. I want to be in shape and in a condition that he can actually do something with me. I know he loves me, and there's nothing I can do to undo that or change it. And I know that he has called me. I know there's a call of God in my life. But just because he's loved me, and just because he's called me, and just because he loves you and has called you, doesn't necessarily or automatically mean that you and I are in a shape or in a condition that he can use. That's for us to get into that kind of shape, to be useful for the master, and to be prepared for every good work. Now, I want you to turn back to 1 Timothy, where we left off yesterday, chapter 6. Read again verse 12, what he said here. Familiar verse to you. Fight, he said. Now, some people, you just lose them right there. The first word of that verse, fight, and they just check out. No, I'm not a fighter. That's not really in my personality. That's not in my character to be a fighter. Well, you better learn some fight. You better find some fight in you somewhere, because this is what you and I are in right now. We are in a fight. It's not a fight with other people. It's not a fight with flesh and blood. We are in the fight of faith. And when Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, you need to fight the good fight of faith. And I think a lot of people have understood that in a lot of different ways. Some have said it's a good fight because we win. And that's true. We certainly do win. Our enemy's already been defeated, and our victory is ours to enforce. And I understand all that. But when you study some of these words, all you really have to do is read it in another couple translations. Listen to it from the Wiest Bible. It says in 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, be constantly engaging in the contest of faith, which contest is marked by its beauty of technique. I like that. Listen to it again. Be constantly engaging in the contest of faith. You should be in faith at all times for something. Now listen, faith at its highest isn't just faith for something. It's not just faith for healing or faith for prosperity or faith for your needs met. That's wonderful, and faith can and should be used for those things, but that is not faith at its highest. Faith is a gift that's been given to you and to me by God so that we'd have access to Him. That's what faith is for. That's what faith is about. And with access to Him, that means you and I have access to the healer. So your faith for your healing comes as the result of your faith in the healer. Hey man, healing happens when you're with the healer. Prosperity happens when you're with the one who's just given good gifts to His children. That's what happens when you're with Him. And God, in His grace and in His mercy, said, I got to have a way for you to get to me. I've got to have a way for you and I to be in relationship to each other. I've got to give you access to me. And that's why He gave you faith. So if nothing else, your faith should be constantly engaged in your relationship with God. God, I believe You exist. I believe You are good. I believe You are real. I believe You are true to Your word. What am I doing? I'm engaging right now with Him, and I'm doing it by faith. It's not based on what I can see, and a lot of the time, it's not based on what I feel. It's based on what I believe to be true from the Word of God. Be constantly engaged, He said, in the contest of faith. Be constantly engaged, not just in your relationship with Him, but in this fight. You are in a fight right now, and some of you have disengaged from the fight. And I understand. I understand it places a demand on your flesh. I understand that it's hard sometimes on your natural way of thinking. I get all that. I understand it, and I don't fault you for disengaging, but listen to me today. Imagine that I'm in your corner and you're sitting in the ring and you feel beat up, you feel bloodied and bruised, and you're sitting down in your corner and you're thinking, I can't get up and go another round. Well, listen to me. Let me be the coach in the corner saying, get back in there. You've got what it takes to finish your opponent. You've got what it takes to finish all 12 rounds, all 15 rounds, all 130 rounds, because we don't quit until we win. Listen to me. Breathe that life into you. Get re-engaged in this contest of faith. I know by the Spirit of God, there are people watching this program or listening to it from places all over the world, and you used to be engaged in your fight of faith. Man, you used to listen to this. You used to feed on this kind of teaching. And you remember when it used to lift your spirit and it used to breathe life into you. But for whatever reason, you detached from it, or you started feeding on something else. And there are a lot of good things. I'm not saying faith is the only message, but I am telling you, it's the only one that's going to get you through your fight. It's the only one that's going to pick you back up again when you get knocked down. So let me breathe this life into you again today. And if you've disengaged from this fight of faith, get re-engaged right now in Jesus' name. Get back in the fight, because you are destined to win it. Be constantly engaged, he said, in the contest of faith. Now watch this. Which contest is marked by its beauty of technique. So when he wrote to Timothy and said, Timothy, fight the good fight, when he said good, he was talking to him about the way you fight it. It's the way you fight that depends on whether or not you win. Hold your place here and go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Listen to what Paul said, again, him writing here in verse 24. He said, do you not know that those who run in a race all run? Yeah, you get it. You know that. But one receives the prize. He said this, run in such a way that you may obtain it. Winning the race is dependent upon the way you run it. It's not just a matter of being in the race. That's good. You want to be in the race, but winning it is dependent upon the way you run it. Run, he said, in such a way that you obtain it. He said in verse 25, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Verse 26, therefore I run thus. I like that. I run thus. This is how I run, not with uncertainty. So when he's talking to you about the way you run, let your run and my run, let your race and my race be characterized by the way we run it, not with uncertainty. This is what differentiates you and I from everybody else. Everybody's in the race. Some of them don't even know they're in it. Some people have no idea that they're in a race, and they are. Some people know they're in a race, but they don't know how to run it. They wish they did. They see there's people up there ahead of them, and they see people succeeding at it, and they wish they knew how to run it. They just know they're running, but they don't know how. And Paul said, look, this is how I run it, not with uncertainty. So people running, there are those running with uncertainty, not really knowing why they're running, not really knowing what they're running towards, and certainly they don't know who they're running towards or who they're running for. But you and I, on the flip side of that, let's run with certainty. We know why we're in this race. We know what we're running for. We know who we're running towards. We run our race with certainty. And then he sort of switches sports here. He goes from running and then he switches to fighting and he says, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight. Thus I fight. I think I want a t-shirt that says, thus I fight. I like that. For some reason, I know it's all King Jamesy, but I like it. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. So Paul's saying my fight and my run are not characterized by uncertainty. My fight is not characterized by someone who's just beating the air. Now I'm going to make an announcement right here on global television, and I'm not ashamed to admit this. I'm sitting here right now at this table as a 37-year-old man, and I've never once been in a fight. Never gotten a fight. Some people think that's good, some people don't. But I never got in a fight. I managed to grow up all the way through elementary, junior high, high school. I never got in a fight. Well, I got close one time, and I think somewhere around 10th grade or something, I had a balloon at school and I hit a kid with it. And he said, if you do that again, I'm gonna punch you. So what did I do? I did it again. And man, that guy just charged me, and thank God for good friends who stepped in there between us. But I didn't fight back. My instinct instead was to throw my hands up and say, I'm not fighting, I'm not fighting, I'm not fighting. I think I was so afraid of getting in trouble. I don't know what it was. I figured out early on as a kid, my mom talks to the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost talks back to my mom. So I can't do anything wrong because he's going to tell her. And that's from firsthand experience, by the way. So I just threw my hands up. I'm not fighting. I'm not fighting. I'm not fighting. So even as close as I got there to being in a fight, I'd never actually fought back. I will tell you, though, and I'll admit this, I did have a few fights in the mirror. You know what I mean? Every guy has had that fight where he looks at the guy in the mirror and he says, you talking to me? You talking to me? I don't like the tone of you talking to me like that. What's that say again? You know, and he starts fighting that guy. I've had a number of those fights. I will admit, I've had a few of those. And you know, you practice your form, and you can tell right now as I'm doing this, I've never been in an actual fight. But what am I doing when I'm doing this? I'm boxing the air, right? I'm fighting the air. And here's the big problem with what Paul said. He said, thus I fight not as one who beats the air. Here's the problem with beating the air. You never make impact. You never make contact. Where there's no contact, there's no impact. And Paul said, that's not how I'm fighting. I'm not just practicing. I'm not just trying this. I think sometimes if I were to actually get in a fight, it would probably look more like this, you know, just the swatting and the swinging. And again, I'm being honest with you here. I don't have technique, never trained in those ways. I wish I could tell you I was, man. I wish I could tell you that, you know, I went to karate school growing up, and I wish I could tell you I had all these martial arts skills and I was a fighter. I can't. You know, I played saxophone in high school, okay? So there, I don't have these kind of skills. What I'm telling you is what I lack is technique. I lack technique. And when Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, be constantly engaged in this fight, but don't just be in the fight, Timothy. Be good at it. Be good at fighting. Fight the good fight. In other words, there is a way to fight this fight. And he said it here in the Weiss translation again. It's a contest which is marked by the beauty of its technique. Man, I like that. The beauty of its technique. And I think there are a lot of people who have, again, heard some things about faith, seen some faith principles, heard some good word on it, but haven't really developed the technique. You know, fighting this fight, being in the fight is good, but winning it is dependent upon the way you fight it. Being in the race is good, but winning it is dependent upon the way you run the race. And how you run and how you fight, that contest must be marked by the beauty of the technique. There's a way to fight the fight of faith. And I've seen it and you've seen it. I've been it and you've been it, where something comes up and, man, you just start swinging and you just start flailing faith and you're just throwing this scripture at it and throwing that scripture at it and oh, what are we gonna do? I don't know. Let's sow a seed or let's pray this prayer or let's do this or let's do that. Now listen to me. You and I both know there is nothing wrong with sowing a seed. There is nothing wrong with praying a prayer. And there's nothing wrong with making a confession of the Word of God. All those things are good. But there's a difference between somebody who's just trying those things and somebody who's got a technique to their faith and they know what to say and they know what to sow and they know what to pray and when to pray and how to pray. It's the difference between watching a five-year-old play basketball and watching a professional NBA guy play basketball. It's the difference between these two things. I got my son Justice into soccer a year or so ago, and he was 5 years old when he started playing, and he really enjoyed it. And all the kids on the field, 5 and 6 year olds, playing soccer. And you know what? It's cute, and it's even entertaining. But the truth is, I never once walked away from any of those games and said, wow, that was a good game. Never one time. It may have been cute. It may have been fun, probably even entertaining. We got a good laugh at it. But we never said that was a good game. Now again, what did Paul say to Timothy? Fight the good fight. What's he talking about? Technique, skill. For it to be a good game, there's got to be some skill that's been developed. But you take somebody like that, Justice, 5, 6 years old, what's he doing? In those practices, man, they are learning the basics. This is a soccer ball. Can you say soccer ball, boys and girls? Soccer ball! That's where they're starting, all right? And man, they're learning, this is how you kick it. This is how you pass it. This is how you dribble it. This is how you shoot it. Stop touching it with your hands. Don't touch it with your hands. You can't touch it with your hand. You know, they're learning all the basics. Same thing's true with any sport. You take a kid like that, you put them on the basketball court. This is how you dribble. This is how you pass. This is how you shoot. All the basics. Nothing complicated about it, but they've got to learn the basics. But right on the other hand, if you take some guy in the NBA or somebody operating at the highest level of that profession in whatever it is, be it sports or academia or law or finance or whatever arena in life, you take somebody at the very highest upper echelon of that and you look at the way they do it, you may think, man, that guy is good. That girl is good. They know how to do it. They know what to do. They're an expert at it. Really, what they are is an expert at the basics. You take some of these guys, you study some of these guys that are playing sports at professional level, and you look not just at the the game film, but you go and study the way they practice. You know what they're doing? Dribbling, passing, shooting, over and over and over and over. And they'll stand there and they'll take those free throw shots and they'll take 100 of them. Then they'll take another 100 of them. Then they'll take another 100 of them until they've got that very basic technique until it's been perfected. That's the difference between a novice and a professional. All the principles are the same. This is just somebody who's mastered the basics. And that's what our life of faith is. The basics of faith, man, they are simple. We're going to get into some of this as we continue to study. It's simple. It's not complicated. People have made it complicated. They've made it hard. But faith is so simple. And so much of the time we look at people like Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, like some of these other men and women of God who've been walking by faith for 50 years or more, and the Lord's using them to have impact all over the world. But really, all this person is somebody who is fit for the Master's use. They got themselves ready for the work, and they got their faith in shape. They got fit for the fight of faith. And all they did was start with the basics of faith and practice it 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 and practice it. And they started on small things. They started little, believing God just to pay the bills, believing God just to make it to the end of the week, then to the end of the month, then to the end of the year. And then they're believing God for payroll. And then they're believing God to add people. Then they're believing God for a television outreach. Then they're believing God to open offices all over the world. But I want you to notice, it's that same faith, that same basic faith that paid that $100 bill 50 years ago that's now paying millions and millions of dollars in television outreach and outreach all over the world. All they are is somebody who's mastered the basics of faith. So you got to start where you are, and I've got to start where I am. And again, what are we doing? We're getting our faith in shape. We're getting fit for the fight of faith. You need to say it out loud right now. Thus I run. Thus I fight. How do you fight? Not as one who beats the air. Are you ready to start having impact in this world and on this world? I know I am. I am not content to be a preacher of the gospel without having impact on the people I preach to. I'm not okay sitting here at this table looking into this camera without having an impact on your life. That's just me fighting like this. No, I'm ready to get some technique to the way I fight. With every word of God, have an impact on your life, have an impact on your heart, have an impact for the kingdom of God and against the kingdom of darkness. Thus, I fight.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.